Welcome to the Becoming Your Best podcast. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. For those interested in additional resources or services, such as the weekly planners, online planners for Chrome or Outlook, keynotes, live training, coaching, or certification, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. Now, when you listen to an episode that resonates with you, we invite you to share it with your family, friends, and team members so that they can experience the same type of motivation and results in their lives. Also, if you haven't already subscribed, please hit the subscribe button. It works on Apple, Stitcher, Google, or whatever platform you're using so that you can get a new podcast reminder each week. Now sit back, let's get started, and we hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to all of our Becoming Your Best podcast listeners, wherever you may be in the world today. We are always so excited to be together with you. Thanks for tuning in. And we have a show for you today that's going to be amazing. Our guest today is a speaker and trainer commonly described as riveting. And he is a fun person. He claims his daughter doesn't really believe that statement, but it's one-of-a-kind blend of business experience, research, storytelling, tools, sprinkles of humor, and high-octane delivery opens hearts and minds. So it's going to be fun to have him with us. He has a great passion about helping others to become mentally stronger and achieve more, even in the face of challenges, whether it's work or in life. And he prides himself on his no diva policy, just being easy to work with, which is refreshing, and especially on coming across as authentic and as down to earth as he really is. So welcome, Scott Maltz.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's so great to be here, Steve. I appreciate it. And to put a, you know, just a little plug out for you, folks, go read this book. It's really great that Steve wrote. I really recommend it. And I'm really glad to be on your show, Steve. We were chatting before. I think you and I have a lot in common, and I'm very eager to share what I've learned with your audience today.
Yeah, it's going to be a rich resource. And well, I'm glad that you're able to enjoy Becoming Your Best. We talked about that a little bit beforehand, and we realized, and that's why Scott's on the show today, is we do have quite a bit in common, but I think he is going to bring a whole different perspective to an important and the very same subject. Leadership literally drives the world. It's helped us get where we are today. So let me tell you just a little bit more about Scott before we get going. He is the CEO and founder of Profound Performance, a keynote workshop and training company that helps business leaders become even better, more inspired versions of themselves. He is a former senior executive of Procter & Gamble, where he successfully ran several of the company's largest multi-billion dollar business units. And he's an award-winning best-selling author, popular course instructor on LinkedIn Learning, and faculty on the faculty at Indiana University School of Business for their executive education program. His latest book is The Mentally Strong Leader, Build the Habits to Productivity, Regulate Your Emotions, Thoughts, and Behaviors. All right. Well, Scott, with that, let's get right into it. Please tell us about your background, including any turning points in your life that's had a significant impact on you.
Well, I grew up in the corporate world, Steve, as you may have mentioned in my opening, where I spent, you know, several decades in a variety of different corporate companies, just kind of working my way through the whole time, really trying to pay attention to what makes great leaders great, what makes achievers achieve. And at one point in my journey, and I bet, Steve, you can probably associate with this, or you have plenty of listeners that can. At one point in my journey, you know, as I was working, you know, what I thought it was all about was, okay, let's see if I can get to the next promoted level, do a great job, make a difference on the people around me, and then get to the next promoted level and the next promoted level. Until at one point, Steve, in my corporate journey, I realized, holy moly, I don't want that next level. When I look up at that job, what it requires and what I would have to do and what I, for me personally, what it might take away from my mental health and from, you know, time spent with my family, I don't really want that anymore. So there became a really strong inflection point in my life, in my corporate career, when I decided to really take a chance, when I decided to turn down, you know, that next level promotion, and I decided to make a leap and broaden my platform for making a difference with the spoken and the written word, which is what I do today. You know, I speak all over the world and I teach courses and I write books to share what I've learned about leadership and of late to share what I've learned about mental strength, which we're obviously going to talk more about. And it was that inflection point, Steve, for me, where I really had to take a risk in my life and say, I got to believe that I can do this. I have to believe in my ability to expand my portfolio, my, you know, for making a difference in people's lives. And I'll tell you, when I made the leap, Steve, it was the best thing I ever did in my life. So now I work for myself and with my teammates here at Profound Performance, our keynoting and workshop company. And I'm just so proud of all we've accomplished since that moment.
How long ago, Scott, did you have that experience where you came to that realization, decided to take the leap and do what was in your heart?
Yeah, it was about 12 years ago. And I actually even started writing my first book while I was still in the corporate world, just trying to get my reps in as a writer. And I started speaking an awful lot around the company. And then, of course, you know, outside of the company on weekends is kind of like a side gig, if you will, trying to hone my reps and hone what I wanted to talk about and hone what I was interested in. I even stayed in corporate for a while on the side, I was testing out this philosophy of trying to broaden my platform for making a difference. But yeah, that's how long ago it was now. Seems like just yesterday, but I've been energized even more so ever since.
Oh, that's wonderful. Tell us about your book. When was it published and what went into that book? How did it come about?
Yeah, well, the book is coming out May 7th, and depending on when listeners, you know, hear this, and maybe it's already been out by then, but May 7th, 2024. The title is The Mentally Strong Leader, and it's a book, obviously, about mental strength, and I'll break that down for the listeners into kind of two pieces. First and foremost, at its root level, Steve, mental strength is the ability to regulate your emotions, your thoughts, and your behaviors for productive outcomes, despite the circumstances, yes, even in adversity. And as I like to say, said another way, it's managing yourself internally so that you can lead externally with brilliance. And here's the thing, Steve, I think most of us intuitively already understand that to be able to succeed, you have to be able to regulate your emotions and your thoughts and behaviors. But guess what? This just in, doing that is really, really hard. It's really hard to do it. But the good news is that if you know how to build the specific habits to increase your mental strength, it's almost like training your brain for achievement. And I'll explain. I've been researching the topic of mental strength for quite a long time now, Stephen. One piece of research really drove me to the fact of, like, I have to get what I've learned out into the world. I asked over 3,000 executives a central question. Thinking of the highest achieving organizations that you've ever been part of, and I encourage you to do the same, Steve, as I'm asking you. Thinking of the highest achieving organizations you've ever been a part of that overcame the most obstacles, what were the attributes of the key leader of that organization at that time? It blew me away. In the research, I found that 91% of respondents, 91.2 to be precise, all described the same profile of the same type of leader, a mentally strong leader, which for further definition, the second half of the definition of mental strength equates to 6 mental muscles. And the respondents at the time didn't know this, but they were describing people that were mentally strong because they were describing 6 mental muscles that they were flexing. There were leaders that showed tremendous fortitude, confidence, boldness, goal focus, the ability to stay focused on their goals, incredible decision-making skills, and even great messaging skills. What's the messaging that you give to the troops? Is it positive in nature? Is there a quality of your intent and a quality to your presence? Is there a level of engagement to that? So fortitude, confidence, boldness, decision-making, goal focus, and messaging were the things that I heard back over and over again that these leaders that achieved despite adversity would show over and over again. And it matches up with what equates to mental strength. And it also makes sense to you because those 6 mental muscles are the ones that require self-regulation skills. They require habits to be really good at that. You can't just stay confident forever. Things happen. You have to go back and strengthen that confidence muscle over and over again. You can't just have unending resilience and fortitude. You have to go back to the well and strengthen that muscle. You have to self-regulate negative thoughts that get in the way of you being resilient over and over again. So all of that is why I say, Steve, that mental strength is the leadership superpower of our times.
Okay, good answer. Now, being an author and knowing the regimen that it takes, the discipline and the thought to create ideas and to really walk through it in your own mind and understand how it can have great power ultimately in your actions, I am just guessing here, Scott, that where you talk about regulate your emotions, thoughts, and behavior, is I'm just thinking about those. Those are all important. And you've probably put those in order for a reason. Talk about that. That's a big deal. Emotions precede thoughts, and thoughts definitely precede behaviors, and behaviors deliver the results that you get. And so if you want to end up with excellence, you need to really be thoughtful about, well, how do I manage my emotions? I get it. How do you regulate them in your world? But then they directly flow into the thoughts that you can have, and the thoughts are the magic that impact your behavior. So do you mind talking about what you went through on that?
You did a fantastic job of summarizing that all together. But you're exactly right, Steve. You know, the emotions are the blueprint that we have inside of all of us that will really create a certain thought pattern. The thoughts that we have lead to behaviors. And the thing about the three working together, Steve, is it can be daunting to someone to say, okay, I got it. Mental strength, I have to be able to regulate my emotions, thoughts, and behaviors productively, even adversity. I got that. That sounds daunting to do all three of those. That's why the mentally strong leader is based on habit building science that allow you to regulate all three in order or not in order, emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. Here's what I mean. Habit building science teaches us a couple of core things have to happen for you to be able to build a habit. You have to have repetitions, first and foremost. Makes sense, right? Like if you want to create a habit of anything, you have to have repetitions. So the over 50 plus proven tools in the mentally strong leader to help you build the habits to create those stronger mental muscles, they're all designed as systems and frameworks so that you can get your reps in over and over and over again to build the habit that will help you control your emotion, your thought, or your behavior. Two other pieces of habit building science that also help you with all three of those, emotions, thoughts, and behaviors. Habit building science teaches us, Steve, that you have to know what the first small step is to take in building a habit. So many habits never get formed because people don't even know where to start. There's a section in the book, The Mentally Strong Leader, for every of the 50-plus habit-building tools called Your First Small Step, to tell you exactly what to do to get started on building a habit of fortitude, for example. And there's also a section, just to round out the habit-building science behind it, called In Moments of Weakness. Because we also know habit building science teaches us there's a major inflection point. If you want to actually build a habit of confidence, you have to know what happens in moments of weakness when you're not feeling so confident. What do you do when your systems are breaking down? And the mentally strong leader also helps you with that as well. So whether it's emotions, thoughts, and behaviors in that order, which it most often is because of the flow of the psychology of it, or it's out of order, the habits you can build through the Mentally Strong Leader will help you regulate all of those.
I'm just thinking about mental health for a second. And, you know, that's a big part of emotion, and it flows into the others. And I think most of our listeners would agree and have read the research. So when a person is happy and upbeat and has a positive frame of mind, it's much easier to think positive thoughts, constructive thoughts. How do we solve problems? Which then leads right into our behavior. What's been your experience, Scott, on how to have a healthy set of emotions? How do you manage, regulate your emotions to generally try to be upbeat and positive? What have you found?
The first good piece of news is that the opposite, Steve, of mentally strong is not mentally weak. We all have a baseline of mental strength to build from. if you know how to do it. And in the Mentally Strong Leader, of course, there's over 50 plus proven tools to help you build the habits to become mentally stronger. And I'll give you an example that goes right to what you're asking. So there's a tool in the book that's called the Redirect Rhythm. And it's all about helping you to navigate negative emotions in the moment. Control those emotions. And by the way, when people say, hey, listen, we're going to have a discussion, Steve, and I need you to check your emotions at the door. That doesn't really work. Why? Because we're human beings. We're human beings, and we don't just check our emotions at the door. They show up. So for example, what do you do to navigate negative emotions in the moment? There's a process called the Redirect Rhythm. I've been working on this for decades, and I have it proven over and over again, revalidated over and over again. It's four steps you can take in the moment. When you feel that emotion bubbling up in a negative situation and you feel like you're going to lose it, four super quick steps. As you learn to do these, it becomes a habit over time, Steve. First thing you do is you got to create space from that moment. You have to do the proverbial take a breath. Now, everybody understands, yeah, I know I got to take a breath. I've heard that before, Scott. But here's the thing. What you don't realize is psychology teaches us what you're actually doing when you do that. When you take a breath, is you're creating distance from the intensity of the emotion. You're breaking the gravitational pull of the emotion that's dragging you someplace that you don't want to be. So you have to break that gravitational pull by taking a pause and taking a breath. And then you go instantly into naming the emotion. And you ask yourself, what am I feeling right now? So for example, Steve, maybe you and I are having a heated argument and I'm starting to get frustrated. I take a breath and I think, all right, right now I'm feeling anger. I'm feeling anger that Steve doesn't agree with my point of view. Once you can name the emotion that you're feeling, it begins to lose its hold over you. You could point at and you could say, okay, that thing I'm feeling is anger. Then you move into the last two steps of the redirect rhythm, which is to reassess and redirect. You ask yourself, okay, what's really happening here? What's happening here is I just don't like that the fact that Steve has a different opinion from me and I need to get over that. And so you go into the redirect. So what am I going to do about it? How will I respond, not react? When we react, it tends to be emotive and emotional. When we respond, we stop in a kind of very straightforward and intentional way, say, okay, so knowing that I'm angry, knowing that, you know, when you really think about it, what's really happening is Steve just has a different point of view than me. What am I going to do about it? How am I going to act now? How am I going to emote? How am I going to act? And so what I've seen over the years, Steve, is once you start the pattern of create space, name the emotion, reassess, redirect, it's a very positive way to control negative emotions in the moment. And that's just one example of the tools in the Mentally Strong Leader that helps you, to your question, control your emotions in a positive and productive way.
Lovely. And I'm just reflecting, these are great habits to develop so that when these things arise in your life, right? Now, it's good for me, it's good for anyone, is that you have a way to handle it, a way to think about it. And so nicely done. Great.
One thing I did want to add to that, that the further helps you figure out how to handle it. In the Mentally Strong Leader, there's also a mental strength self-assessment that you take in chapter two, right towards the beginning of the book. It's 50 questions that it really helps you figure out what are the mental muscles that I need to level up. So it gives you an overall mental strength score, and you could see how you score relative to most people. There are four different tiers of scores. And what's your overall mental strength? But then you get a score for, okay, so how developed is my mental muscle of fortitude, confidence, boldness, decision-making, goal focus, messaging to the troops? And then once you understand, Steve, where your strengths and your weaknesses are, you could then build a customized mental strength training program to help you specifically in the ways that are best for you. Because just like when you go to the gym, you don't go in and say, all right, I'm going to work every muscle in my body all day today. You go in with a plan. You know, Wednesday is back day, Thursday is leg day and arm day or whatever. That's what the mental strength self-assessment helps you to do. You can customize your own training program based on the muscles you need to build to become mentally stronger.
Great. Well, thank you for that that resource. And in thinking about the mentally strong leader, what's been your experience? How can one become more resilient? You know, you have these punches in the stomach or the unexpected happens and you want to keep your composure and provide the kind of leadership we're talking about. How do you become more resilient?
I have many tools in that chapter of the Mentally Strong Leader on building resilience and fortitude. One of my favorites that folks tell me they like a lot is, we don't often think that a core part of building a resilience, Steve, is getting better at problem solving, right? It's almost by definition in resilience. Resilience means something has been presented that's a problem. You got to figure out a way through that problem. But there's a trap that many of us fall into when it comes to problem solving called the static trap. And if your listeners can be aware of this, it can help them to be better problem solvers and more resilient. The static trap is this. First, it starts by when you are being static, meaning you're denying that a problem exists. And tell me if this sounds familiar at all, Steve, right? You're in an organization and you could see that people are doing nothing about it. They're ignoring the problem. They deny it doesn't exist until the problem can no longer be ignored. Then you're not just being static, then you start to create static. Meaning, now that the problem can't be ignored and it's on the surface, you start to distort the problem. You make excuses for why the problem really exists. You downplay its impact. You redirect attention by finger pointing. And then, even when you admit the problem exists, you move from creating static to remaining static, doing nothing about it, still sticking your head in the sand, hoping that it just goes away. And of course, the solve to the static trap is to begin to recognize the signs of problem denial, which I go adept in that tool in the Mentally Strong Leader. So that's one way that you can really increase your fortitude is to avoid the static trap.
Okay, yeah, and jump in and say, how can I be a productive change agent here, facilitate getting to a better place? Good stuff. Well, now let's see, in the whole process of business and life generally and our personal lives, sometimes things happen and we feel like we need to have an important conversation with someone for whatever reason. And that might be, you know, we're afraid of offending them or we think things need to get to a better place. What's your recommendation about how do you have a difficult conversation like that where you make it productive? You know, you end up in a good place and that's all about leadership.
In the Mentally Strong Leader, there's a tool that, you know, where I talk about the importance of preparing for and conducting a difficult conversation, because there are two pieces of the pie there. And in preparing for a conversation, there's a really important insight that I want your listeners to understand, which is that the source of tension and what makes that conversation difficult to begin with informs how you should prepare for that very conversation. And I'll give you an example. So in the book, I list multiple sources of tension that could happen from a difficult conversation. Maybe you're not familiar with the situation. Maybe you feel like you don't have control. Maybe the relationship is bad. Here's an example. Maybe the source of tension is the power structure, and that's what's going to make the conversation difficult. Meaning, when you enter a tough conversation, one of three things is going to be happening, Steve. You either have more power than the person that you have to talk with, which means you're going to be afraid of totally deflating them or totally intimidating them. You're going to have less power than the person you have to have a tough discussion with, which means you might be really intimidated and never fully speak your mind. Or you're going to have the same amount of power. Say it's with a peer, you have to have a tough conversation. And in that scenario, you might worry, well, this is going to be tough because they don't even have to listen to me, really. They don't report to me. We don't have a working relationship outside of our peers. This might not go well at all. Well, knowing that source of tension informs how you should prepare, Steve. And in all three of those cases, for example, the key is that you can't change the power structure. You just have to commit to change your patterns within that power structure. So, for example, if you know you have to have a tough discussion with a boss and you enter that discussion and you know that whenever you have a tough discussion with your boss, you tend to clam up. You don't really say what's on your mind. You get intimidated and you get into yes, sir, or yes, ma'am mode, whatever you say. And you want to avoid that. You have to recognize that about yourself and change your patterns because you can't change the reality of the power structure. So that's how you prepare for difficult conversations, by understanding the source of tension. Now, before I talk about conducting the actual conversation, does that make sense and sound familiar to you, Steve, the existence of these sources of tension in a difficult conversation?
Yeah, and it's really how do you prepare so that you put other people at ease and you can engage them in the discussion so it's collaborative.
That's exactly right. And in fact, to help that along, when you actually conduct the second part of it, when you conduct a difficult conversation, I encourage people to really acknowledge their responsibility in what makes the discussion tough and to acknowledge their discomfort. there's an opener that I often recommend people use. I talk about it in The Mentally Strong Leader that you can use to open just about any difficult conversation. And I wrote it down here. So I encourage people to do this. So let's say, Steve, you and I have to have a tough discussion about something. And I might open it like this. Hey, Steve, I need to have a difficult conversation with you about blank.
Uh-oh.
I want to acknowledge, Steve, that I've contributed to this situation by blank. And I want you to know having this discussion doesn't come easy to me because blank, because I care about you, because I want to make this relationship better. So if you approach it acknowledging your responsibility and the mess and your discomfort, the discussion becomes a lot easier. Then I encourage people to do what I call press record, REC, which is an acronym for remember, you got to show respect, empathy, and curiosity, REC. And oh, by the way, when you press record, what are you doing? You're imagining that you're recording you in this difficult conversation. And if somebody was watching the video later, you want to make sure that you come across in that difficult conversation with respect, empathy, and curiosity, that you're really willing to listen to the other person. Make sense? Yeah, and I have other tips in the Mentally Strong Leader on how to continue and have a really great discussion, even though it's a difficult one. It's a key skill because it's a key part of becoming mentally stronger.
Yeah, and then how do you then join together to come up with a great outcome? Because that's really where you want to end up in the first place. Well, I'm always like in total shock how fast these interviews go. We're at the end already, and I've loved your ideas, your thoughts. I'm going to love reading your book, listening to your book. Will it come out on Audible when it comes out?
Indeed, it will. The book comes out May 7th, and I think it'll be out on Audible, I think, a week after that.
Okay, well, that's coming right up. You've got to be excited about that.
I'm really excited about it. I really do believe that mental strength is the leadership superpower of our time. It's how achievers achieve. It's what makes great leaders great, especially in today's work world. And I'm really excited to get it out there into the world.
Okay, any final tips you'd like to leave with our listeners before we wrap up today?
Yeah, I think just to remember that while mental strength is by definition, you know, regulating your emotions, your thoughts, and your behaviors for productive outcomes, even in adversity, I don't want the listener, Steve, to feel intimidated by that because it is really true. The opposite of mentally strong is not mentally weak. We all already have a baseline that we can build from. You just have to know how to build the right mental muscles with the right habit building tools, which is why I wrote and worked so hard on The Mentally Strong Leader. And, I don't want your listeners to be intimidated by it because using the book, you're going to have a real plan that you can put together. Actually, what I call a map, a mental action plan that you can put together at the end of the book that allows you to have a customized mental strength training program.
Yeah, terrific. How can people find out about what you're doing, Scott?
You bet. Go to scottmautz.com, scottmautz.com. And I put together a free gift for your listeners today, Steve. If they go to scottmautz.com/mentally strong gift, all one kind of cluster of words, scottmautz.com/mentally strong gift, they can download a free 60-page PDF, which includes the mental strength self-assessment if you want to get a head start on that and find out how you score on mental strength and on each one of those six mental muscles. And it includes prompts in there to help you get the most out of the book, The Mentally Strong Leader.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much, Scott, for being part of the Becoming Your Best show today. Loved your ideas and wish you the best in all that you're doing.
Thank you so much, Steve. And thanks for what you do and keep on doing it. It helps us all be our best.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks so much. And to our listeners, so grateful to have you with us today. Hopefully you found something that you can apply right away. And we admire you for your dedication to try to be better at what you do. I love this focus on good, better, best, and it's never ending. So you're touching people every single day. This is Steve Schallenberger signing off. Have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Your Best podcast. If there was something in this podcast that you felt would be helpful for a family member, a friend, or even a coworker, we invite you to share this podcast with them now while you're thinking about it. Also, remember to subscribe so that you never miss an episode. Now, for additional resources and tools, such as how to join our monthly peak performance coaching program, or how to get certified as a trainer or coach, or schedule a workshop or keynote, you can visit our website at becomingyourbest.com. We're here to provide you and your team with the resources, tools, and content to achieve your greatest potential. So thank you for listening, and have a wonderful day and a great week.